top of the hour. I see most people have joined, so let's get the recording going and let's get things on the road, please, Terry.
Certainly. It'll be one moment while I start the recording. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the At-Large Ad Hoc Working Group on Transition of U.S. Government Stewardship of the IANA Function on Friday, the 8th of August, 2014 at 1500 UTC. On the call today, we have Olivia Crepin-LeBlond, Tijani Benjama, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Alan Greenberg, Gordon Chillicott, Roberto Gaetano, David McAuley, Patrick Fulstrom, Julie Hammer, Tom Lowenkapt, Jean-Jacques Supernot, Avria Doria, Loris Taylor, Judith Hellerstein, and Aida Noebla. We have no apologies today. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Ariel Liang, Gisela Gruber, and myself, Terry Agnew. Our Spanish interpreters for today are Veronica and David. As a reminder, I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Terry. My name is Olivier Catana-Blanc. Just a couple of housekeeping rules, of course. Say your name before you speak on the call, since this call is interpreted in Spanish. And one last question before we get this call going. Have we missed anyone in the roll call, by any chance? I don't hear anyone putting their... shouting their names out, so I believe we are complete. And now the adoption of the agenda. We've got a review of the NTIA stewardship functions themselves, which Patrick Fulstrom is going to be dealing with, and effectively just going to give us a feedback, well, a full review of what the functions are and how these things all work together. I understand we've got a lot of documents which are linked to the working group page. There's a link in the agenda that actually sends us to the working group page as well. We've got several documents there as well. And then after that, we will have a review of the IANA coordination group discussions, as described by Jean-Jacques Sobrana and Mohamed El-Bashir, who are our two representatives on that coordination group. After that, we will be finding out how we can contribute to the discussion. There has been some difficulty of being able to bring our points across to the coordination group, and we might think of ways to improve this this whole overall communication. And then afterwards, we'll be looking at next steps. Does anyone wish to add anything to the agenda at this point in time? Hearing no one.
This is Patrick Fulstrom. I have nothing to present, and I'm not going to lead this call. What I interpreted your question for me to participate was whether I was going to be present to be able to answer questions in the discussion that ALAC has. As I wrote to you as a separate email this morning, like 6 hours ago, we in SAC do not have anything to present whatsoever. We do might have 2 weeks from now, but not today. So I'm not
okay,
to thanks. Do any presentation.
Yeah, thanks very much for this, Patrick. Yeah, I'm Miss Olivia speaking. I don't think we ever asked for a presentation as such, and I do acknowledge that I received your email 6 hours ago, but felt that it wasn't the right, basically this call is open, all the calls are open, so a presentation that isn't ready yet to be shown out to the rest of the world is probably not the best time for it. Certainly we absolutely acknowledge your presence here, and we are thankful that you were able to join us. In fact, let's get going to agenda item number two and start the discussion with you, Patrick. So you're from the SAC, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, and the reason why you've been asked to join us today is to provide a little bit of answers perhaps on any of the questions that we might have. And I certainly have several questions for you to kind of set the record straight as such as to how all of these functions actually work. You've been involved with the IETF for many years. You've been also involved with the numbers side of things for a long time. So you probably are a person who can answer these questions and any other questions that we might have on the call with pretty much authority. So the first question I was going to ask is really we've seen an infographic which was provided by, I believe it was VeriSign a few weeks ago. There is an online version, actually, of it, and we've put it in our page, but in fact, we can have a look at the infographic here. I've put it in the chat at the moment. That provides the actual function of the NTIA as far as proper root zone management is concerned. And this, of course, deals with the domain name side of the INR functions. As we know, there is also a protocol side of the INR functions, and there is also an IP address part of the INR functions. And somehow there is no explanation out there as to how the NTIA relates to that. And certainly on top of that, I haven't managed to find any kind of contract as such, perhaps contracts with regards to the protocols by seeing some of the work that was that has already started within the IETF. But I've certainly seen nothing regarding or relating to the regional internet registries and the NRO. And so perhaps it would be helpful for you to take us through that or let us know how this works.
Yeah, there are two answers to that question. First of all, regarding the protocol numbers, that was something that started in this is Patrick Schellstrom speaking. So what it all started in 1969.
Yeah, go ahead, Patrick. There just seems to be a bit of interference on the line somewhere.
Okay. So the protocols, which is like non-names, non-numbers, and or basically all of that started in 1969 already, and that evolved into later the IETF being created, and the IETF, and also the RFCC areas where the actual numbers were recorded, that moved over to an NSF. A sort of grant mechanism, and when National Science Foundation stopped managing that, that led to, because of where National Science Foundation is in the U.S. government, that led to everything end up in the lap of Department of Commerce, and that in turn led to the IANA functions contract that was sort of created in October 1st, 2000. Regarding the IETF issues, the base document is RFC 2860, which is an MOU between ICANN and IETF, which is then updated in RFC 3172 and 6220, which talks about the various issues. RFC 2860 is from June 2000. And it's a mutual agreed basis for the administration of the IETF-related resources. That talks about the internet protocol parameters, some domain names for technical purposes, address blocks for special purposes, and some experimental assignments. There are also some the similar kind of agreements between ICANN and the RIRs, and that is between ICANN, specifically the ICANN and the ASO from October 2004. The MOU designates the NRO to fulfill the roles of ICANN's ASO. We should also remember that in the beginning of ICANN, there was a protocol supporting organization that later were closed. So you have those kind of MOUs there, and people can of course discuss whether there are contracts or what kind of leverage those documents has between ICANN and the IETF and the RIRs. There are also some exchange of letters between ICANN and the root server operators, which is closer to the domain names, similar to ICANN and some CCTLD administrators, and then you have the contrast between ICANN and the GTLD administrators, and a few other similar issues. So those are the documents that exist or paper trace, apart from the agreement between NTIA, the contract between NTIA and ICANN regarding Diana functions. And all of these things sort of needs to be taken into account, and even the IANA functions contract is something that has evolved during the years and was at the beginning pretty short and crisp document, but has evolved, and a certain in the latest version there are also some wording regarding protocols and parameters that of course to some degree one could say overlaps with what IETF has in this MOU, but that is something that that at least my interpretation is that IETF don't see any problem with that. So that's basically a summary.
Okay, thank you very much, Patrick. It's Olivia speaking. So the first question I have for you is, with regards to the contracts, do they include any specific tasks that the NTIA needs to do? Because certainly the contractual relationship is one thing on the one hand, but we've seen with regards to the root zone management, there is an activity that the NTIA performs. Does NTIA perform any activity with regards to the protocols and with regards to the numbers?
Yeah, this is Patrick Falstrom. I think on 10,000 feet level, no, there are no activities there. Neither if you read the actual, specifically if you don't read the mutual agreements between ICANN and the IETF, for example, or ICANN and the RIRs. Now, if you read the actual read the contract between NTIA and ICANN. Just because the NTIA is sort of doing audit of the performance of IANA, there is, of course, a little bit of a question, what do you mean by audit? Does that mean that NTIA actually can do something if ICANN is not performing? That's one thing, one question. The second thing has to do with certain, for example, domain names that people might not think are part of domain name management, but might be part of the protocol parameters, like the ARPA top level domain or certain other domain names which are sort of part of the protocol management, but are domain names. There's also a little bit of question, of course, whether NTIA actually do have a role there according to the contract NTIA has. In reality, NTIA has never. It's not the case that they must do something, as it is for sort of the traditional crystal clear cases for domain names where NTIA actually must be involved in the various changes. That is not the case. It's more the case that they can involve themselves if it is the case that the performance is not according to what is expected. But all of those cases are managed by either the IETF or the oversight of the IETF, the MOU, which is the Internet Architecture Board.
Okay, thanks very much for this. And Patrick, it's Olivia speaking. Patrick, you just mentioned actually the oversight of the IETF, which is the Internet Architecture Board. Certainly there seems to be a certain amount of accountability going on with regards to the NTIA performing the audit. Certainly for the name, this is something that I think many in our community is linking to the transition of stewardship. At the same time, there's also a question with regards to the accountability of the IETF and the accountability of the RIR processes. Are you aware of what these accountability mechanisms are?
Patrick Feldstrom here. I think if we look at the overall IETF architecture of the organization itself, you have IETF and the whole structure of the IETF, and any kind of decision that is made in the IETF is appealable to the Internet Architecture Board. If it is the case that people do believe that decision-making process in the IETF did violate the process itself, then process issues are appealable to the to the Board of Internet Society. So that's the sort of the decision-making chain and appeals process. Regarding the performance of the ITF, we have to remember that what the ITF is dealing with are standards, and standards can be developed by any standards organization in the world. There is even a collaboration between ITF and many other standards organizations like the W3C, ITU, and others, FC, etc. And anyone that would like to have a standard created can go to any of the standards organizations. And on top of that, it might be the case that you have two different standard organizations working with similar issues like Codex or whatever, which both ITF and ITU is working with. So I would say that the ITF is much, much more a sort of bottom-up process where ultimately it is the users of the protocol parameters and the standards that decide whether they want to use the ITF standards or not, in a completely different way than domain names. So I think to start with, we have to remember that it's very difficult to even compare domain names and domain name allocation with protocol parameter allocation.
Okay, so thank you. That's Olivier speaking. So that's a good start on the IETF. What about the RIRs? Are you aware of the processes by which accountability takes place?
The RIRs do develop their policy independently, but in a coordinated way in each one of the different RIRs, and each one of the RIRs do have their own mechanism for how to handle both the PDP they're running and also the actual later on the implementation of the PDP that they are having in each one of the RIRs. So it's a little bit difficult to give a general explanation there, because it depends a little bit on which one of the RIRs you are operating under, because each one of them do have sort of their own mechanism.
So the five regions are separate, basically.
The five regions are separate, but then you have a global policy that is, for example, you have a few so the policies are coordinated, but even though the policies sort of are the same, they are still decided upon on each one of the regions independently. So every policy that is sort of used, for example, in the RIPE region where I happen to be, must be accepted according to the RIPE PDP. So some proposals that are global have been blocked because one of the RIRs have not accepted the policy within their PDP. So that's how the coordination is made. So global policies are implemented by having the same policy accepted, but in each one of the PDPs independently.
Okay, thank you. Olivier speaking. And what is the involvement of the NTIA in these processes?
Yeah, Patrick speaking here. The NTIA involvement is absolutely nothing. The only thing they are doing is that they have in the contract with ICANN, ICANN promised NTIA that they will fulfill, that ICANN will fulfill the tasks of running the registry.
Okay. All right. Well, the floor is open for questions. I haven't seen anyone put their hands up. So I'm not really sure. Does anybody have any questions for Patrick in addition to what we've heard so far?
This is Patrick speaking. Let me just tell everyone, which I have the discussion with Olivia the last few days, and this is, of course, something that Julie Hammer, which is the excellent liaison between the two of us, that we are working on a set of documents describing exactly what you have been asking here. The first document that we hope will be released in a few weeks, in quite short, because it's now on the last review, will describe what IANA is doing, one could say, put it that way. The second document we're working on is what is actually covered by the contract between NTIA and ICANN. And then the third document that we're looking at whether we should do is the ESSAC comments on the whole situation.
Okay. Thanks very much, Patrick. Olivier speaking. So I haven't seen anyone putting their hand up yet, so I guess what we'll be doing is to eagerly await the documents that TESTAC are going to be publishing. And I'm glad that we had our short discussion with you today so as to get a clearer view of the NTIA's involvement in the non-named issues as such. There is concern in our community with regards to the building of the actual proposals, since it appears that the coordination group is just going to coordinate the different proposals that will be received from various parties. But I guess this is part of the discussion we're going to have in the next part of our call today. So if there are no questions for you from anyone on the call, and it appears that at the moment there are none, and I can't see any in the chat either, I thank you very much for joining us, Patrick. And if you want to hang around, you're absolutely welcome to do so. And if you have other things to do, then you're absolutely fine with dropping off as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. This is Patrick speaking. Thank you very much for inviting me. It's evening here in Sweden, so we'll actually drop off. Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, take care. Thank you. So now the next part of our agenda is reviewing the ICG, so the INA Coordination Group discussion, with our two representatives, Jean-Jacques Subrana and Mohamed El Bashir. I'm not sure who wishes to start to provide us a quick summary of what's been happening. I think that most of us on the working group have been very much kept informed of what's been going on, and of course we all have the ability to read the archives of the working group itself. But I see Jean-Jacques Subrana has put his hand up, so Jean-Jacques, you now have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, but you might have to speak a little bit further away from your microphone.
Oh, a bit further away. Okay. Is this better?
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you.
Good. Right. So I'll try to give an overview, and then I'd be very grateful if Mohamed could drill down into the subject as he feels fit. So the first thing is to say that it was the first meeting we had in London a bit more than 2 weeks ago. And it was all about organizing ourselves in various ways. First of all, defining the role of this coordination group. And second, getting organized internally. So on the first topic, which is what is the purpose of the group, there are several aspects. First of all, we needed a draft charter, as it were, of our group to know what way forward we were going. In this respect, very early on in the discussion, some colleagues on the group made a point of insisting that there would have to be three separate approaches, almost corresponding to three separate entities related to the INA function, that is to say numbers, addresses, and protocol parameters. For that reason also, I found, as someone who's from outside the technical community, that there was a fairly large contingent of the business community well represented, and also of the technical community, especially with top people from the Internet Architecture Board and the IETF, Internet Engineering Task Force. And that's quite normal. When we proceeded at the request of the interim chair with a tour de table, in other words, with everyone making a self-introduction, I asked that each of us state also her or his citizenship or nationality, just to make things clear, and of course also the enterprise she or he worked for, affiliation with an organization, etc. And this was very gracefully responded to by everyone. So if we had not asked for those details, perhaps we would have had a less clear image of the composition of the group, because we had not been told in the preparatory stage before the London meeting what the group looked like. So at that moment, there were only two representatives of the GAC, and at that stage, so we were at 26, I think, and of the 26, it happened that there were 11 citizens from one nationality, from North America, and the rest was evenly distributed. The closest next one was with three persons from one country or one citizenship. So in terms of the tasks, there was some discussion about what the work of the coordination group would be. Some stating that it was purely administrative in some way, that means collecting the views of the global stakeholder communities, arranging them, sifting through all of them, and then giving a sort of neutral resume of all that upwards. And it appeared in the discussion a bit further along that actually it is more complex than that. And I give you my personal reading of this. I think that actually the coordination group will be expected to produce a plan in its own name to present to the NTIA. Now, that does not mean that ICANN, as a corporation, will not intervene. It can intervene in its own name. But as far as I have understood, and I hope that's correct, the coordination group will be able to submit to the NTIA a plan. And, of course, then there will be discussion about how valid or invalid that plan happens to be. Now, about the second big topic I wanted to take up is self-organization. It appeared that there was some hesitation about the format of a leadership team or the chair structure, as it was called then. Some people were advocating one chair and one vice chair. Others said one chair and one vice and two vice chairs, etc. Well, at the end of the day, when it came to voting procedure, the suggestion of having three co-chairs, meaning three people with equivalent responsibilities, was adopted. And that was taken note of, and it is recorded in the report of the London meeting as our choice. Now, I state this because sometime after the London meeting, a group of our colleagues were not satisfied with what had been agreed upon in London, and they proposed that it was too unwieldy or not efficient or whatever, and they called for a simpler system of one, well, simpler in their minds, of one chair and one or two vice chairs. I remind all of us that there were several iterations of an ALAC position on this in the past few days. And finally, with the agreement of Olivier, our chair, I sent to my colleagues of the coordination group a proposal on behalf of the ALAC about a structure which would solve that problem whilst at the same time maintaining the principles we had stated right in the start in London, that is to say fairness, proper representation of the global stakeholder community, etc. So that's where we are today as far as the internal leadership structure is concerned. And there is a group led by, let's say, three or four of my U.S. colleagues who really wish to have one chair and one or two vice chairs, no more. And there are some other views which have been expressed that actually especially with the enlargement of the group from 26 to, I think, 30 now, we should actually have one chair and four vice chairs. In this way, we would have on the, not board, but let's say in the leadership structure, we would have five people, which would correspond exactly to the five internet regions for what they were. And that was the position suggested by the ELAC. So I could go on other details, but I think it's interesting to hone down or to focus on these various aspects first and hear what our community has to say about this, whether we have suggestions or questions. But before I do that, I suggest that we listen to Mohammed on his take of where we are today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. Mohammed Al-Bashir, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Olivier. Hello, everyone. I think Jean-Jacques already talked about a couple of things. I would like just to maybe give you more details about specific issues currently under discussion within the group. I will start with the secretariat. Within London meeting, there was an agreement to use ICANN support and staff as interim secretariat to provide support for the ICG until we finalize the process for recruiting an independent secretariat. And there is some work currently being done in terms of identifying what's required for the secretariat. So that will be coming in the coming future. ICT is planning to have an independent secretariat from ICANN, although it will as well still need ICANN logistic support in terms of meetings as it's being held alongside ICANN meetings. The two main documents or two have been produced on a draft format since London meeting. The first one is the charter of the ICG and the other one is the RFP, the request for proposals for the transition. And I can say that the request for the proposal of the transition is one of the documents that have some sort of an agreement in terms of what is required from the transition. Recently, ALAC has put some comments, which is I'm planning to submit to ICT, hopefully today. So I don't think our position in terms of the proposals and required information on the proposals and the importance of the communities to have open, transparent processes to enable other stakeholders, to which we call them the interested stakeholders, to participate. And I just wanted to clarify the terms effective communities and interested communities. Basically, these two terms have been used in the previous NTIA ICANN contracts in identifying directly contracted parties with IANA, or called effective parties, effective communities, or customers of IANA, and other stakeholders who are not directly linked or have any sort of contractual arrangements with IANA. And those are the interested parties or interested stakeholders who are basically civil society, end users, community, and governments as well, and businesses. So there was discussions lengthy in London about who are the communities who are going to be submitting, be allowed to be submitting proposals and consolidate submissions as well from other communities. I think now within ALAC, we discussed that also in length, that we need to have all the stakeholders interested and affected to be allowed to submit proposals if they wish to do so. I would like also to speak about the processes and within the group. I think we can see from the mailing list that as members still we did not agree on sets or procedures, how we do things. For example, voting or consensus, identifying consensus and making decisions. That's currently a disputed area that needs to be resolved in when we can call that there is consensus and we can proceed on this. And I think we can see that the chair is also struggling to define that, and it takes some time to move discussions and ideas and proposals to implementation. So that's something that needs to be worked at the committee, at the ICG. Comment processes, how we can receive comments from the wider community. And I did propose a process that ICG should often comment short comment periods in the document that's planned to produce. And one of the current documents is the charter. And unfortunately, I think we have almost since last 3 weeks, there was no agreement about this, or at least this has not been implemented. But the communities have a chance.
Ah, it appears we might have lost Mohammed al-Bashir. Terry, have we lost Mohammed?
And I'm checking into that, Olivier. It'll be one moment. I know he was on the telephone. Yes, we have lost him, and we're dialing. We are going to...
We have... Okay. Well, whilst we dial him up again, it's Olivier Capanabel speaking. Let's take questions then, and then we'll let Mohammed finish his reporting. Tijani Benjamin, you put your hand up and you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. I have a question to Jean-Jacques. I have understood from the mail of the interim chair that the rough consensus they have in the group was for one chair and two vice chairs. Jean-Jacques, is there a rough consensus inside the group about that?
Hello, this is Jean-Jacques responding to Tijani. Well, Tijani, it depends very much on what we call rough consensus. As you know, in this group, there have been only, maybe half a dozen people really active on the mailing list. Maybe eight at the most on various subjects. And about this, there have been maybe 10 people intervening about what the leadership structure should look like. And it goes all over the place from 1 plus 1 to 1 plus 4. So when it is claimed that there is a rough consensus, I think that the interim chair is interpreting this to mean that there is a rough consensus among respondents. And the respondents, as I said, is about a third of the membership of the coordination group. So I'm willing to go along with that if that is the instructions I get from this working group we are on today. But I'd like to have it in writing and clearly, because from another point of view, considering that we as the at-large represent the global user community, I frankly think that is not entirely satisfactory. But after all, it's up to you. Thanks.
Another question. Do we have support for our position for 1+4? Is there? I have seen only one supporting our position. So, is there other people who are supporting us?
Thank you, Tijani. This is Jean-Jacques. Contacts have been taken by the leadership of our ALAC and by myself in various directions to find out if there is or not any response on that side. I've had one or two responses. At this stage, I don't think it's useful for me to give their origin, meaning their affiliation with the group, nor their names, because for the time being they have not come out in public with that. So I think we'll have to wait another day or so in order to have a clearer picture of, does our proposal, which I made on behalf of the ALAC, does it fly or does it not fly? At this stage, I can't say. I don't know.
Thank you very much for this, Jean-Jacques. There was a question in the chat from David McCauley regarding the ICG. Does the group meet in an open manner or unopen manner, or are all group discussions open to the public?
Hello, this is Jean-Jacques responding to Olivier. To the best of my knowledge, and of course my only experience so far has been the London meeting and after that exchange of emails. So the process is that the London meeting was not broadcast, it was online. There was a possibility for people to follow, I think. But since then, the exchange of emails goes into an archive. So maybe it's not instantaneous, but I think it's reasonably documented.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. It's Olivier speaking. Yeah, the archive is public, as far as I understand. But it's impossible for people to take part directly in the discussions. I guess they have to go through their representatives.
Yes, this is Jean-Jacques in response to Olivier. Yes, I think that... if only for practical reasons, that's a good arrangement, but because otherwise we would be swamped with dozens, perhaps scores of interventions from all over coming at the same time, and therefore we would be incapable of keeping up with the flow. I think that the method which is used now is reasonable. It's fairly efficient. In other words, when a member of any community has a comment or a question or a request, the best is to go through the natural, quote-unquote, natural representative of that person of the community. And there is also a proposal that if someone, let's say from planet Mars, feels that she or he or it is not represented by one of those representatives, then there will be at the end of our web page a means of putting down something directly. Of course, we'll need an interpreter for and a translator for Martian to, is it English? Thanks.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Jean-Jacques. Now, Olivier speaking, we have Fatima Cambronero next in the queue. Fatima, you have the floor.
This is Fatima Cambronero speaking. Thank you very much, Olivier. I have a question. I hear the interpreter quite far away, and then I would like to ask Jean-Jacques and thank them for letting us know about this coordination group. I know that we will discuss the best way to work with you, but first of all, I would like to thank you for all your work. Now I would like to make a question that I personally do not understand. Perhaps it's a very naive question in this level of discussion, but I would like to know why for ALAC is it so important the structure being adopted by this coordination group in terms of having one president or chair and two vice chairs, or one chair and one vice chair. I understand that nationality is important in terms of diversity, but I don't see why we are discussing and emphasizing so much or putting emphasis on the structure of the working group. Could you please clarify that? And I once again, I apologize if this question is a basic question or a naive question for this, for the level of discussion that we are having today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Fatima. Thank you. Jean-Jacques, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques responding to Fatima. Well, thank you for an interesting question. We have to understand where our discussion comes from. On the first day in London, it became quite clear, and on the second day even more, that there were some people pushing for a certain type of leadership group, very limited in number, and almost by pure luck, they would have been mostly U.S. citizens. I mean, I've nothing against them. They're very fine and competent individuals. And among the three or five or whatever it was, there was one candidate who was representing a large U.S. corporation whose interests are directly affected by whatever we say about the INF function. So if there had not been this sort of strong push by businesses and by one nationality and by technical entities to sort of control the leadership structure, there would have possibly been no reaction, including from myself. But because of that, and because of our finding along the way, the composition of the coordination group, then the question naturally arose, oh, so that's what it looks like, is it? So in that case, is it normal? Do we agree that if there are three chair positions, whether they're called chair or vice chair, never mind, but there are three positions and all three may be, or two out of three may be occupied by the same nationality from the same North American region? So, of course, if you come from a technical entity or from business, oh, that's fine. But I think that because we represent the wider, the global user community, it's quite normal that we should have at least that sensitivity, that preoccupation. So that was the first element. I remind you what it meant. It was, where do we come from? Well, the first and second day, we found out immediately where we were coming from. My second point is that very quickly, there was a request from the GAC that its contingent of representatives should be increased to five. Now, I and Mohamed, on behalf of the ALAC, were among the first to support the GAC's request. And it is documented in the report of our two-day meeting in London, that we gave reasons. And I remember saying clearly that this would be an excellent way to engage governments more closely in the work of the coordination group. Now, you all know, and Fatima, you know especially well, that the GAC has certain ways of working. As you know, no one in the GAC is allowed to express a common position of the GAC except the chair of the GAC. And as you know, the chair of the GAC cannot make any statement if it is not with complete consensus. In other words, unanimity. So as a former diplomat, I was aware of these constraints of the GAC, and therefore I said, amongst the first people to support the GAC request, yes, let's go ahead. So that was the second element. So the third element, after discussions with Olivier and Roberto and others, was that I came to the conclusion that we should put forward an ALAC or an at-large proposal. There were two iterations of that, never mind the detail, but the last one, which I sent to the coordination group on behalf of the ALAC 2 days ago, was that we should have a chair structure of five people, meaning one chair plus four vice chairs. And in that way, with these five people, actually we would very simply cover all the internet regions in the sense of what they are understood to be in ICANN. So that's where we stand, and that is still on the table. There have been 6 or 7 people responding to say, no, we don't like that. But it's always, I remind you, it's always more or less the same 6 people. So it's necessary for Olivier, myself, and for Mohammed to have a sense of where our at-large, ad-hoc working group is going today on this subject. Did I respond to your question, Fatima? Hello?
Jean-Jacques, it's Olivier speaking. It takes a little while for the interpretation to go across and into the other language.
Okay, sorry, I was not listening to interpretation. Yes. Good. Fatima says that my reply was okay, then thank you, Fatima.
It has, yes, okay. Now, there are a few other questions. There's also Alan Greenberg, who has been patiently waiting. I'll take the question. We'll take Alan Greenberg. We might have to extend this call. We are 5 minutes before the end of the call, so we'll probably extend it for 15 minutes or so, maybe a little more. We'll see. And then we'll take the question from Seon, who can't speak because the mic doesn't work, and has put a question in the chat. Alan Greenberg, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. Just a couple of comments, not questions. On the issue of has rough consensus been achieved, I think the principle that's being generally used, and we use it in ALAC and at large also, is that if the chair or acting chair, you know, says, I think there has been consensus, and no one objects, they are deemed to have accepted. So I despite the fact that the result may not be what we like, I think it's a reasonable call that if no one else has objected either before or after the fact of the chair saying, I think we have rough consensus, then pretty much it's achieved. At least that's the way that both we and other groups that I've participated in within ICANN tend to have worked. On the whole issue of leadership, I agree completely on the targets that we've raised and what we would like to see. My sense is that we haven't succeeded and that we need to move on and start talking about substance and having our participants talk about substance on the various mailing lists, because really this group has a really difficult job to do, and some of the recent discussions on whether IAN is going to be subject to court order and how we would survive in the absence of NTIA acting as a backstop to say, no, we won't allow something such as a court order transfer, which is one of the things that's being discussed. I think these are really difficult questions, and I think we need to get on and start coming up with some ideas. Thirdly, on terms of the charter, and I don't think we've gone back to Mohammed after he's back on the line, and maybe we should let him finish. But I have a real worry that although the charter says any of us, including at large, can support a proposal, the questions are phrased to say, to imply that you only can answer if you are relying on these services as opposed to having an interest in the services. And I really have a worry about that. And lastly, it dawned on me, we've been talking about composition of the coordination group, and I realized that the original proposal from ICANN was to have selectors. Now, we may or may not have liked who the selectors were, but they were have selectors. The global ICANN community said, no way, we want to pick our own members. And that's what they did. And the result, of course, of that is there's no way one can balance the membership or even attempt to balance the membership because of that. And so to some extent, we made a demand and we got what we asked for. It's a sad story that when we get what we ask for, we end up with such an imbalance, but there is a relationship. Thank you.
Thank you for this, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. So, of course, we still have Mohamed El Bashir who's waiting. I can see more hands up and I can see more questions. First, a response from Mohamed or from Jean-Jacques to Alan's point.
Thanks, Alan.
So, Mohamed,
go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, please, Mohamed, I've spoken whilst you are offline. Go ahead.
Thank you, Zindak. So, Alan, the point you're raising is very, very important. Because initially on the London meeting, there was a tendency of some of the communities to push for only the affected operation parties, communities naming, numbering, and protocols, stakeholders to submit proposals only. And that the other communities, which are inclusive communities, at large, civil society, and governments, the end users and governments, they can utilize the channels and the proposal development processes that need to be developed by those three communities to ensure that interested communities' interests are captured in the process. And that was also concerning to us. And so we made the suggestion that all interested and affected parties need to have equal footing in terms of submission of proposals, and also other stakeholders. So now, although in the charter text now does not oblige ICG to take into account other submission that's coming outside from communities outside the channels that's already there. But that's a good step ahead. So basically, at large, if in the future wish to submit a complete proposal, they should be able to do that. Or if they want at large to contribute, we decided that at large is better to contribute to other communities' channels. That's also a possibility. In terms of I'd like just quickly to give my opinion in terms of the chair structure. I think in the coming day or so,
well, you might have lost Mohamed again. So Olivier is speaking.
Terry, have we lost Mohamed El Bashir?
Yes, I'm verifying. One moment.
Yes, it's fine. Yes, Mohamed mentioned he got disconnected again. Okay.
We're dialing back out.
Thank you. Let's take the questions which were on the chat. There's a question from Sion Ojudeji. I'd like to know the status of establishing the secretariat of the ICG and how does the ICG expect to engage the chair and vice chair?
Shall I answer that, Olivier?
Jean-Jacques, you are the only person remaining on the call from the ICG at the moment. You're very welcome to do so, please.
Thank you. First, secretariat. So there was, shall I call it, a rough consensus in London that we should use actually two separate secretariat functions. One would be about travel and expenses and that sort of administrative and logistic tasks, and that can perfectly well be performed by ICANN itself. That is to say, the people who are put at the disposal of the coordination group by ICANN, and that group is led by Theresa Swinehart, the senior vice president. But there was also a strong push on the part of some colleagues to have a quote-unquote independent secretariat for for more administrative and document related or discussion related or issue related items. And the idea was to set up a sort of a request for proposals for an external secretariat. And this has been under discussion now for some time. It must be understood, however, and I'd like to point this out, that there is a bit of a contradiction, but we all accept it on the coordination group, that in fact, however quote-unquote independent that secretariat may be, it will in fact be paid for by the ICANN budget on a piece of budget that is being made available by ICANN for the purposes of the coordination group. So things are a bit tied up. There is some connection between the two. That's where we stand today. And of course, the various tasks of the future quote-unquote independent secretariat have come under discussion. We're pretty close to a conclusion on what that definition should be. In other words, a sort of a list of working points. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much for this, Jean-Jacques. It's Olivier speaking. So we can go back to Mohamed El-Bashir since he's back online. Mohamed, you can continue your intervention, please.
Yes, sorry, it's not sure why the line is disconnecting. I just wanted to stress on Alan's point that regarding the chair, I think it's if we didn't have support for our proposal in the coming 1 or 2 days, I think we need to proceed with the current proposal that's put forward, because I'm also concerned that we have been seen as ALAC has been seen as not counterproductive or at least not moving forward with the consensus. I think there's some communities we're waiting for the feedback. The naming RIRs, GAG members, we have one only expressed his opinion. So let's hope that there is support for our proposal. Otherwise, I think we need to move ahead and with what we can achieve, I think. Because also we're not hearing supporting voices enough supporting voices within the ICT. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Mohamed. It's Olivier speaking. So the next question is from Loris, asking about the approval or ratification process for the ALAC proposal by the ICG, and what are the timelines for the INF condition in terms of proposals, the actual proposal, you said.
If I might take this one. Still there's the discussion about how rectifying, but at least selecting and voting or a final proposal has not been discussed yet in detail. And I think this one will be one of the toughest points to agree between the group. Regarding the timeline, current proposals or the discussion about publishing and requesting RFPs. Hello?
Go ahead, Mohamed. Just keep on talking.
Requesting the current time frames about requesting proposals to be submitted by end of December, and hopefully ICG to complete its work by end of May or June, and try to submit proposal to NTIA in a 3-month period before the contract expires on September. That's the current tentative time frame what we have now. So it's very squeezed, by the way. It's very squeezed time frame. It's very tough. It will be lots of hard work, and it's also lots of tough work coming ahead, especially reviewing proposals, consolidating and agreeing on a proposal forward. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Mohammed. There's a problem somewhere. I'm going to ask them to mute the one who is not speaking. I don't know where the background noise come from. Okay, thank you. So effectively, we've got more questions. We are already 7 minutes past the top of the hour. We can have an extension for up to 30 minutes. So let's continue on the discussion here. I'm a little concerned with spending a lot of time on the first issues that share the vice chairs. Jean-Jacques wanted to obtain some idea as to what we are able to settle for as far as chair and vice chairs are concerned, understanding that this issue is just starting to take way too much time in the coordination group. Is that correct, Jean-Jacques?
Yes, Olivier, this is Jean-Jacques responding. Well, if we consider that the one-third of the membership is correct, because they are those who are giving feedback to the interim chair, therefore they represent actually the rough consensus, then there's no problem. But I'd like to respond to Alan and Glenn also, who feel that we are one issue freak. No, that's not the case. We have been responding on other things. I have been sending to this working group this stuff about the chair structure simply because it was the most contentious. But you're seeing the rest on the email archives in any case. That was one point. I'd like to respond, if I may, to Cern, whose question was, are there specific roles for the chair and vice chair? At the beginning of the discussion in London, there was a feeling on some parts that one of the co-chairs should have the role of spokesperson in relating with the outside world, meaning media, other bodies, etc. But finally, this was abandoned. And so when there was a vote and the three co-chairs structure was accepted, then there was an understanding that according to the types of questions which would be aimed at the coordination group, well, the three co-chairs would huddle together and decide the person among the three who would respond to that, or even someone else from the coordination group. So my quick answer to Sun is that at this stage, there is no clear division of labor between chair and co-chairs on paper. However, there is the reality of politics, as it were, and that is that the chair will have some role in setting the agenda, and the co-chair, the vice chair also. And that's one of the reasons why some of us have advocated and the ALAC proposed to have one chair and four vice chairs so that it would be more balanced in terms of representation and fairness. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques, for this. It's Olivier speaking. And just to close up on this, and I was going to ask a question for people to actually answer in the chat. So we pushed for 1+4. The current interim chair has mentioned the consensus call that the rough consensus was for 1+2. The question I wanted to ask for the group was, if we are to have a 1+2 where the two vice chairs would be non-US and would therefore come from different regions of the world, there is talk of, I believe, Patrick Feldstrom being one of them. There is talk of Mohamed Al-Bashir being another one. I'm not sure if there is talk about any others from other parts of the world. If this goes through, are we as a group going to push for the 1+4, so one chair and four vice chair, or can we accept a 1+2 vice chairs, or maybe a lesser number of vice chairs than the numbers that we asked for? We asked for four. Can we settle for three or for two?
And that's for everyone to answer in the chat while I hand the floor over to, I believe it was Alberto Soto who had his hand up. So, Alberto, you have the floor, and apologies to you for the time you've had to wait for this. But this obviously is an important set of discussions we're having. Alberto, you have the floor.
This is Alberto Soto for the records. Olivier, I put my hand down for Alan to be able to continue with his comment. I can wait to make my comment, or I can post my comment on the chat or by email. No problem for that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Alberto. Let's have Alan Greenberg, and then if we have time, we'll come back to you, Alberto Soto. Alan, you have the floor.
Yeah, my comment is not on the subject of leadership, so maybe we need to close on that first.
Alan and Olivier, before we do that, I just wanted to give a factual information to you in answer to these questions. As far as I know, and according to our interim chair, there was a message yesterday which says to go forward with a 1+2 structure, one chair and two vice chairs, I believe the current list of people who have volunteered to serve in these roles are Russ Housley, Patrick Falstrom, Mohamed Al-Bashir, Keith Drazek, and Elisa Cooper. So in answer to Olivier's question, which was more hypothetical, what can we imagine as a threesome? I think that the way it's going, if we act according to quote-unquote rough consensus, is Elisa Cooper as chair, and the vice chairs could be Patrick Falstrom and Mohamed Al-Bashir. I would like to underline that it's interesting. One of the people who was right from the start a candidate for co-chair is Keith Drazek, who is a senior vice president of VeriSign, and he's still a candidate. And in spite of the fact that there were quite a few stated oppositions to his being a candidate for any chair position, considering the role of his company and the impact that the whole IANA discussion could have on his company. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this. Jean-Jacques, it's Olivier speaking. Alan Greenberg, you have the floor.
Okay. Somebody, I think it was Fatima, said, are we going to submit a proposal in the chat? I strongly believe we should submit something, whether it is a full-blown proposal or a statement of some principles or a methodology that, to address some of the issues. I don't believe we should just be silent and critique what comes from other people. How we come up with that, I don't have a proposal in my back pocket already to, for consideration. But I really do believe that we need a group of people, essentially this working group or a subset of it, to start beating around, discussing the issues and saying, do we have any great ideas which can help get us out of this morass? I feel strongly that we need to go through the process. Whether we come up with a real proposal or not, I don't know. But I think we need to make sure that the RFP allows us to do that and that we at least try to see, do we have any answers to the questions. I think if we believe that users have to have a say in this, then we also have to be participants and try to come up with the answers. So I feel pretty strongly that we need to embark on a process to try to submit something to the working group, and we need to make sure the RFP allows us to do that and have it considered, even if it's not a full-blown, complete proposal. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Alan. It's Olivier speaking, and so you're already touching on the next part of our discussion. Just to close off on the chair discussion, we've got a pretty intense discussion going on in the chat at the moment. It appears that several of the nominees, which Jean-Jacques has mentioned earlier, have actually withdrawn their nominations. So Keith Drazek has withdrawn, and Russ Housley has withdrawn.
And on the other hand, there is also Wolf Ulrich Nobin, who has been proposed by Nelson Mueller. So the question really is down to the last few that are remaining on the line. There is also some feedback, Jean-Jacques, with regards to this group being able to settle for 1 plus 2, and it looks from the people that have responded in the chat as though 1 plus 2 is okay for our working group. Any comments or questions, Jean-Jacques Sebrenin?
No, I was just responding to Sohn to say that actually it is not an open process, because even in this limited frame of 1 plus 2, actually the game is partly played already, because those who were insisting right early on having no qualification about nationality, etc., had decided that Alisa was the candidate for chair. And that was accepted by their colleagues. So I think we're going towards a system where Alisa would be chair, and we would, of course, have to continue pushing Mohammed as vice chair. And the only question we have, actually, in response to Alan's remark, let's be concrete, is that we have to choose between someone like Patrick Falstrom, for instance, or someone like Wolf Tobin. And it's your call, so I'll be listening.
Okay, thank you, Jean-Jacques. Let's pursue this on the mailing list after this call. Now, of course, we have point number four, which is how the ALAC working group can contribute to the discussion. And this is the point that Alan has raised just now. As Alan said, it looks as though there might be just one proposal from the directly affected contracted communities, the IETF, the RIRs, and ICANN. Do we settle for this? Do we not settle for this? That's the question. And I think I've heard a number of people saying, well, we need to make and build our own proposal. How do we do this? How do we present it? Is this going to affect the answers that we're going to have in the chartering of the group itself? So the floor is open, but I see Fatima Cambronero has her hand up. Maybe she wishes to respond or add to this. Fatima, you have the floor.
This is Fatima. Thank you very much, Olivier. I have a comment on item 4 on the agenda, and I would like to say that I totally agree about with Alan's comments regarding having a proposal. I understand that we need to have a proposal by ALA, but I am not clear on my mind how we will do this. We are here to discuss this, and of course we will have to schedule more calls to discuss the topic. And if I may, I would like to make general comments regarding my view in terms of our collaboration with Jean-Jacques and Mohammed, because we have several mailing lists and we have plenty of information. Some information might be confusing, and I do understand that we have many questions for Mohammed and Jean-Jacques, but of course they cannot give us an answer or a reply because they are dealing or working with that. So I would like to suggest that when we ask them questions, we should follow or make the follow-up in the mailing list, because this group has worked in the capacity building group, and we are supposed to have the knowledge and to have the information, and we are here to help them, to contribute to them or with them, to help them with their task and not to add more work for them. So we need to facilitate or make their work easier. And I also see some members of this working group that belong to other lists, and they are making comments on other lists. And I believe that due to a question of order, we should take into account that what we discuss here should not be posted on other lists, at least as long as we do not have a position, and we shouldn't mix up discussions or put those discussions or post discussions on other lists, because otherwise we will be delaying the process and we will not be able to help Mohammed and Shanshak when they are asking us questions. I volunteer to draft of the proposal. As I said before, I am not sure how we will focus on that or how we will address this, but I am here to help and contribute, and I am learning in the process as well as you are. So thank you very much.
Thanks very much for this, Fatima. It's Olivier speaking, and you raised a good point, the ability for us to also be members of some of the IETF mailing lists and some of the RIR mailing lists that they are going to spring up very soon. I know of a couple that exist. Let's have Mohammed Al-Bashir next.
And I'm checking to make sure we still have him on telephone. One moment, please.
Thank you.
Hello. Sorry, yes. I was mute. Yeah, I was in mute, sorry. I would like just to quickly respond to Alan's point and Fatima. For Alan, yes, I think we need to submit something to IPG. I would like just to take up to your attention that the business community, for example, they're interested party, but definitely their approach is different. They are not able to submit a full-fledged, complete proposal. So they decided through ICC to submit comments on the three, let's say, or the one joint proposal by the effective operational parties, and to contribute as well to their processes. So it will be, my opinion, it will be difficult for ALAG to produce a full proposal, but maybe we can produce command principles, guidelines based on a proposal, or at least what we think that's important to be considered from an end user's point of view. But I agree that we need to do something. Yes, thank you very much, Fatima, for the comment. I think, yes, it's important that we need support, really, and I think we need you also to provide us with input, because the process in the ICG and discussion are really very fast and very quick, and positions evolve quickly. So sometimes we might need a quick response. And also, I think it's important, ALAG, give us the space to react as well and also be proactive there. But definitely while updating and coordinating with the group. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Mohammed. And one feedback I have received from some members of the ICG was the need, maybe, when we develop proposals, to not just think of our proposals as a silo and then come up with a fully cooked proposal, but perhaps for you and Jean-Jacques to liaise informally even with other parties in the ICG to get a sense of what their reaction would be to our proposal. For instance, I've received an email, quick reaction to our charter proposal, where we proposed a much shorter, brand new charter, actually, than one that was originally being worked on by the working group. And so the thing was, well, why didn't we actually share this thought that we were working on a shorter charter earlier? Why did we have to write the whole shorter charter and now basically just put this in front of everyone else? There seems to be some sensitivity about that. So that was one of the comments, feedback. Any other comments? Mohammed Al-Bashir, you still have your hand up.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I think it's a valid comment, Olivier, frankly. And I think we need to learn as well from our group work. I think from this experience of the charter, a complete sudden change will not be welcome as such by the other group, as we involve in the process and we updating things. And I agree. It's we didn't inform the rest of the members that there is proposal coming. I think it was a surprise to some of them. But at the same time, personally, I was also waiting that we complete, as ACG, we complete the procedure for submitting comments, which is unfortunately is up to now is not finalized. So the community through us could submit documents, but I think we need also to engage more with the other members, so they don't see contributions from ILAC to be sudden and unpredicted. And that's my comment.
Okay, thank you for this, Mohammed. And I'll close the queue for more people because we are reaching the half-hour time. We still have Tijani Benchema and then a question that Jean-Jacques wanted to check with everyone. So let's have Tijani Benchema.
Thank you, Olivier. I have read the short charter by Christopher. I fully support it. I think it is a very good contribution that we have to provide to the coordination group. I do think that all our group has to contribute in the substance now. Now we talked a lot about the procedure, about the commission, and we lost everything in this field. So we have to go more efficiently in the substance, and we have to contribute. The charter of Christopher, for me, is a good contribution. We have to submit it to the group. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Tijani, for this. Now, back to Jean-Jacques Soubrenard.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques speaking. So, in concluding, at least on my part, I'd like to make a suggestion. It has been discussed in our working group, all of us, that many things are happening on various mailing lists and in various fora. And I think that it's quite difficult for Mohammed and myself to follow all of it or even parts of it really in a thorough manner. My proposal is that volunteers who are members of our working group should perhaps assign themselves to following more particularly this or that group. For instance, would someone be following more closely the RIRs, someone else perhaps the GNSO, etc., so that we can get feedback from you, the working group, because that would be one of the most valuable contributions for us to keep posted. This would help us in two ways. First of all, to know where the general atmosphere is, and also to enable us to better react more quickly to various positions, because we may have missed quite normally this or that detail on the part of this or that community. So that was my suggestion. Thanks.
Thank you for this, Jean-Jacques. But that was one suggestion, and I also have another suggestion, which is to do with the involvement of our members in other working groups. There was a call earlier just now about, actually, from Fatima, about having some kind of coordination for this, and I'm not quite sure really what to do on that. Obviously, it is important that we're going to be active and actively involved in these other working groups and also actively monitoring those working groups. Does anyone have a specific thought about this at the moment? Of course, one can take part in the other working groups. They're all open. One can take part in them as an individual. I don't imagine that people would take part as an ELAC liaison to these working groups, because I understand that they all work as working groups with individuals inside them. But do you propose anything else? Jean-Jacques?
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. Yes. To go one step further, Olivier, might you, as our chair, perhaps put out a call for specific proposals? For instance, one of our colleagues would be willing to follow both online and perhaps to take part in chats, etc., for our IRs. Another person for some other segment which is important to us. Rather than leave it completely open, wouldn't a designated interlocutor be perhaps more productive? Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Jean-Jacques. It's Olivier speaking. So here's the here's my proposal then. What we can do is to ask for people in our working group, in the current working group, what other working groups they would be ready to follow, or what other discussions they would be ready to follow. And then we can actually put them on tables, and then we know who is in what working group and who is following what discussion. That would probably, at that point, make sure at least we're aware of who is in those discussions. And then, I guess, once we've got those tables of finding out who is in the other discussions, so in the RIR discussions and who is in the IETF discussions, we might even find out discussions that we're not in, and at the same time we could also specifically give tasks for the people who are in those discussions to pursue and maybe even report back during the future conference calls that we have. That would probably help with everyone, since I think it's pretty hard for one person to actually follow all of the discussions out there and keep track of them all. I see some plus one from Jean-Jacques, and well, we'll discuss and decide on these afterwards. Right, it is the half-hour time again, and the next steps really are going to be when our next call is going to be. Since this is a very fast-developing situation, I was going to suggest at least at the moment a weekly call in those early days until the working group, the ICG itself, gets into a more stable situation. I find that discussions seem to be very unstable at the moment, and we certainly need to be very close to our delegates on this working group. So should we have a doodle poll for sometime next week? Maybe the latter part of next week, perhaps avoiding the Friday, although I do see our colleagues from the Antipodes and from the Pacific Islands on the call at the moment, and I appreciate their presence. It is already the weekend for them. Should we perhaps have it on Wednesday or Thursday? How does that look?
Hi, Olivier. It's Mohammed. That definitely will be good for me, because I'm already in my weekend.
You're already in your weekend. Yeah, that's understood. Thank you. Let's have a doodle poll for Wednesday or Thursday, if staff could send it as soon as possible. Does this sort of time work for you, for all of you? No, says Cheryl. Okay, so it doesn't work for some. Let's try and have it in, and I know Gisela is great for this. Get a doodle poll out there for Wednesday or Thursday, and at times which would be suitable for the majority of people around the world, since this really is a worldwide discussion we're having here. Very important. Okay, that's one. Jean-Jacques, Mohamed, any last words before we close this call? Any last issues or questions you'd like to throw out there for us to follow up on the mailing list, or action items that you'd like to add to this?
Well, this is Jean-Jacques. Thank you, Olivier. I would like to get from you, but that we can do on Skype or somewhere else, that you give me once again in clear terms what we have to get back to the coordination group about structure, rather than just wait for things to happen, following on today's discussion in our working group. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Nothing from my side. I just encourage you to follow up the mailing list, ICG mailing list thread. And hopefully, yes, I think we need to agree with John Jack. I think we need to discuss about the way forward regarding the chair structure. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks very much, Mohammed. And with this, I thank the interpreters for having stayed with us an additional 30 minutes. And so I thank all of you for having been on this call. The discussion continues on the mailing list. It's very important that we feed our two delegates with information when they need it. And so good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, everyone. This call is now adjourned. Bye-bye. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Once again, the meeting has adjourned. Thank you all very much for joining. Please disconnect all remaining lines at this time.